Well, welcome to your Thursday, and this is Perspectives on WFSU-FM, the conventional, the traditional, the historical form of Perspectives, just coming after an entire month of the political variety when we had all these candidates in the local and the regional slate that will be facing voters coming up on August 30th, and even some that will be heading on the ballot in the general election come November 8th. But we're back to a more day-to-day thing, looking at very important issues within our own community and bringing to your attention some of the folks who are involved in those issues. I'm Tom Flanagan. Thanks so much for tuning in. And if you'd like to join us via telephone and email and those various ways we have to communicate electronically nowadays, the phone number is 414-1234, the local line. It's 800-926-8809 of long distance from you to us. Perspectives at WFSU.org is the email, and if Twitter is your preferred form of communication, our handle is at WFSU Perspective. Well, just this week, Second Harvest of the Big Bend announced a huge donation going to help feed about 800 kids in 11 schools in six counties when school goes back into session later this month. And certainly lack of food, big problem in our area. It has been perennially. But there's also the problem of too much of the wrong kind of food. And when you combine that with some other factors, such as lack of exercise and such, you've got a very unhealthy recipe, particularly for our kids. Now, back in 2010, a powerful combination of forces, including partners from Florida A&M University, the Florida Family Network, Florida State University Center for Better Health and Life for Underserved Populations, and others, joined forces to create COPE, and that acronym stands for Childhood Obesity Prevention Education. And we have five of COPE's leading lights joining us this morning on Perspectives. So let's go around the table and meet some really great folks, some of whom we have seen in here before, such as Myesha Mitchell, COPE leadership team member, executive director of the Frenchtown Revitalization Council, and co-founder of the Tallahassee Food Network. Myesha, it is so good to see you
again. Thank you, Tom, for having me here this morning. I'm very excited about it.
We are too, Myesha. It's always a delight to see you. Right next door to you, Dr. Penny Ralston, COPE leadership team member, professor, and dean emeritus and director of the Center on Better Health and Life for Underserved Populations at FSU. Been around for 10 years,
Dr. That's correct. Good to be here. Thank you.
It is wonderful to see you, too. Well, we can't leave out Florida A&M University, particularly when one of the representatives from there is our old pal, Dr. Cynthia Harris, co-director of the Tallahassee COPE Coalition, director and professor, College of Pharmacy, Institute of Public Health at Florida A&M University. I still don't know, Cynthia, how you get all that on your business card. I really don't.
Somehow I manage, but it's certainly good to be here amongst friends. Thank you very much, Tom.
Thank you, Cynthia. Good to see you. And you helped us put this all together, Sequoia Finch, co-director of the Tallahassee COPE Coalition and director of the Florida Family Network. And for that, I am eternally grateful. Thank you.
And I thank you as well. Thank you.
I know, and it was a stretch. You guys all had a lot of conflicting things to do today, and somehow y'all got everything together and came on in to talk about this very vital issue, and we sure appreciate that. Finally, last, certainly not least, it's a good morning to Marshall Dunstan Lawrence, COPE Coordinator, Administrative Assistant at the FAMU College of Pharmacy and the Institute of Public Health. Marshall, good to see you.
Good morning, Tom. Thanks for having us.
Okay, we're going to talk about peach preserves and stuff a little bit later. But while we are talking about healthy food and reducing the incidence of childhood obesity, let's get a little bit of historic background on that whole COPE coalition. Who wants to kick us off with a little bit of history lesson here? How this whole thing came together back in 2010? I see Cynthia rolling her eyes. It's got to be you.
No, it's a pleasure, and I never get tired of telling our story because it is our story. You know, when the Florida Blue Foundation, our Blue Cross Blue Shield, actually approached us about looking at how to address or form a coalition on how to address childhood obesity in Tallahassee, it was no question in my mind on the individuals to call on to help pull this together. And these are the individuals that are at this table today. And we did this because of our concern about unhealthy eating habits, lack of physical activity, and the lack of really good food access within the area. We all were on common ground, and the tie that bind us together is that we needed to look at others throughout Tallahassee and identify so many organizations and agencies who are already making tremendous strides in this area. But we said, if we can pull everybody together, if we can garner this support, then we would really have a powerful impact on addressing this concern. And so we did come together. The actual proposal was written in spring of 2009, and we were funded in 2010. And it's just taken off. I mean, people came together. People wanted to help. We were able to identify key areas through various focus groups, looking at community engagement, looking at the need for youth involvement in engaging families. Mm-hmm. And we went through an assessment process for about a year. We had a call to action in May of 2011 right there on Clement Plaza. It was also its own first extravaganza where we announced to the public about what we were doing. And from there, we were able to say that the priority areas really needed to be food access because of the food deserts that we had here in the area, really promoting community gardening. And the other thing was engaging our youth, because children are the future here. We said we needed to have peer education, pull youth together who would be in leadership roles in providing that peer education. And it was something, so those were the areas that we really looked at. It's just taken off. Our legacy even became, we're going to really hone in on food access and then also on youth health leadership. And Dr. Ralston has also done a tremendous job in that area. Ms. Mitchell has been, you know, a leader in the area of food access and the establishment of the community gardens. Sequoia Finch, who is also a co-director, has really been working really hard with us on our mini grants. The ability to provide seed money to these organizations to enhance the work many of them was already doing has just been phenomenal. And she really led that effort. And Mrs. Dunston was really involved with us. She is our coordinator. She really tells us what to do now. And also she and both Sequoia both were really, really leaders in the extravaganza, as well as a doctoral student who is not here today, but she's one of our doctoral students in our Institute of Public Health. It was not something that involved any one individual. It is about a team, and this is the COPE leadership team coming together and saying these are the things we need to do.
This is like an executive high-level meeting that we have right around this table
it
today.
It actually is, but you know, the difference is we have a lot of fun. Yeah.
Well, I wanted to do a handoff here since you'd already started there, Cynthia, to Dr. Penny Ralston. Going back to my academic roots, I know you always start with defining the problem. So, Dr. Ralston, let's do that. Let's define the problem, because we have heard numbers bandied about that nearly one-third of our young folks are either obese or even just simply overweight, and it is more pronounced sometimes in communities of color. It's hard enough for folks of a certain demographic, shall you say, to drop the pounds after they get on. Why target the kids, and how far ahead of this can we get using what COPE has done in putting together this partnership to try to get a handle on this?
Well, I think, you know, what we're really trying to do is to develop leadership. Leadership in the organizations that have come together with COPE, leadership in the youth health area as well, so that it is a mindful thing. You know, we all do a lot of work in the community, and we look at the numbers and we think, can we change those numbers? You know, can we move the needle? That's a goal, and that's the ultimate, you know, mega goal. But I think the more immediate goal is that we have come together, we are working on it, and I think we have seen just physically changes in the community that I think COPE can take some credit with. If we're looking at community gardens, we didn't have the community gardens that we have. I think COPE could take some credit for that. If you look at the south side, we now have the iGrow garden. We now, with youth health leadership, we have impacted 40 young people who have been trained, and there's a whole curriculum that the community decided on. And many of those young people are now going into health-related fields because they have been involved in YHL. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I think it's more the immediate of leadership and coming together, the collaborations, and hoping to move that needle as we go forward. Because we're now a different community, I think, because of COVID. I don't know.
Yeah, well, it's certainly a different community when you look at areas like Maisha Mitchell. Mm-hmm. You look at Frenchtown. As Penny said, you have gardens there. Mm-hmm. There's now been a relocation of the market that is there. It's no longer just, hey, we're hungry, go down to the convenience store and get us some chips, or, you know, run out to Popeyes and get us a bucket of chicken. It's,
yes. Mm-hmm.
This is changing, right?
We're really been talking about leveraging the resources in our community, because there have been gardens growing all over the place, and getting people to come together has been the key aspect of it. Getting folk to understand that this is a very important issue that we have to address as families, as individuals, and as a community, and also as the governing bodies in our community as well. So it's been a uphill kind of a challenge in a way. It's been very exciting to get everybody thinking along that line that food access is a critical component of what we have to do on a daily basis. And with what we've seen with the growing aging out of our farmers, particularly those who are 60 and over, we have to grow young people, you know, grow them early on so they can begin to understand the value of the land and how they use that land properly to bring good health to themselves and to their family members.
One of the happiest things I think I see down there, because I pop down around Dunn Street Garden a lot to see what the young folks have done down there and how that has become one of the most productive acreages, I think, within the entire city. And you got people working there all the time.
All the time. And that's the exciting part. You see, one of the things we just learned about through some work we were doing with the some students who come to us in the summertime, help us evaluate how effective our work is. One thing we just discovered is that we've had over 99, we've got one more person, who's been coming to our sessions for the past 5 years, you know, on an ongoing basis, coming and talking about their food dreams, what they like to see, and then they're going out and growing gardens. They're going out and doing it at schools and in workplaces. They're doing it all over the community. And the amazing pieces that have come out has been that farmer's market. You know, Mr. Bellamy and his work there has done tremendously on how to grow more young people interested in producing the food, but also selling it and marketing it, making sure that they can make an income for themselves.
Talking with members of the COPE Coalition, Fighting Childhood Obesity in the Greater Tallahassee Area. Your input always welcome here on Perspectives, 414-1234, 800-926-8809. We shall be right back. Back on Perspectives on WFSU-FM, and a reminder, you can always find the show online at WFSU.org. Just go to the website, WFSU.org, click on radio, pull down the programs menu, click Perspectives, because we archive past shows and try to have the latest program up within a few hours of when it actually airs, so you can go back and hear it again and again and again. Just joining us, we're speaking with the leadership of the COPE Coalition, Maisha Mitchell, Petty Roth, Alston, Sequoia Finch, Cynthia Harris, and Marshall Dunstan Lawrence here with us today, who got the whole thing started. There was an extravaganza back on July 23rd in the South City area. What was that all about, Sequoia? What was the deal?
Well, this project has been around for about 6 years, and we were funded by the Florida Blue Foundation, and what happened within those 6 years was explosive. We had communities coming together, generally around the grant funding. And grant funding, what happened with, actually we spent about, or Florida Blue supported us with approximately $600,000. And with the support of the coalition, it was almost a little over $1 million for 6 years. So it's pretty impressive. But what we saw around the table was that this energy and synergy started to just bubble up. And out of that came what we call, Maisha and I, we cloned it as clusters. We had clusters of youth that was interested in gardening, folks that were interested in activity, physical activities, and we had grantees that surrounded this. We had youth health leadership. We had community behind the folks at the table. For example, with the youth health leadership and with the young folks in the gardening, we had the school system. We had let me just send a shout out to Sheila Costigan of Foundation of Leon County Schools. Also, Mary
Barley,
thank you, of Working Well. And these folks were, and many others, were grounded with youth that were behind them. And so we suddenly saw clusters of folks, of groups, that their energy extended beyond the table and beyond the community, but within the community. We saw businesses coming on board and partnering with folks. And wherever there were weaknesses as it relates to what money could buy that yet money wasn't there, mm-hmm. then people pull in resources and they started helping each other. So we just saw this beautiful painting, so to speak, masterpiece that's kind of evolved as one picture that pulls us all together. But the key part of that was the center point was children. Mm-hmm. And then beyond that were their families. And so we worked together to figure out how do we pull them all in. So after 6 years of successful funding, we had over 60 grantees, and a good quarter of them were refunded for 3 years in a row, and another percentage funded twice in a row. And so at the end of the 5 years, Blue said, well, you guys have enough money. Maybe we can do another year. And Dr. Harris and the team here thought it would be good to do a legacy piece on youth health leadership and the gardening system. Those were two pieces that really came up as really awesome in terms of it outcome and successes. And so we pulled together, the team of us pulled together the extravaganza event. And I'm going to let Dr. Ms. Marshall talk a little bit more about the details of that and how it came to be what it was, and it was really a successful event.
Yeah, and I noticed that it wasn't at like the Turnbull Center or something mm-hmm. like that. You actually got down into South City where this all goes down.
Yes, and first of all, I want to thank all of our community stakeholders who came together once we got out in the field and start telling them what we were trying to do in the community for the South Side. And what we needed, and it was like, what do you need? Let us know. And they mm-hmm. just responded, and I'm just so thankful for them for, you know, being a part of it, because mm-hmm. we couldn't have done it without them. And it's all about, you know, the children in the neighborhood, you know, in the community, eating healthy and getting healthy, you know, physical fit. Because when I was growing up, we were always outside playing and running, and the children was, you know, in the garden helping with the planting and the seeding and all of that. But I noticed that they got away from that, but now since I've been a part of COPE Coalition, I see that we're all coming back to doing that. And my main thing is children eating health, and all the children eating health. And that's how we came up with the theme, working together to improve the health of our children one step at a time. And if we start them eating healthy when they're children, then they're going to continue eating healthy, even at our COPE meetings that we have monthly. I noticed that when I prepare the fruit and I just make it look pretty mm-hmm. and the children eat it all up and they're like, wow, this is good. You have to make food look good to children and then they're going to eat it. Because a lot of parents that I run into, so my children don't like fruits and vegetables. But then when they came to the meetings and they brought their children and they were over at the table eating, and I said, I thought you said your children didn't like fruits and vegetables. They said, you make them look pretty. I said, see, you have to do that at home also. Children love fruits and vegetables. You'd be surprised. Even at the extravaganza, children were walking around eating whole fruit, eating. Every time I saw a child, he had a piece of fruit in his hand instead of a candy bar, and which I love to see things like that. So it was a lot of work. Mornings, late nights with Sequoia on the phone, and early mornings at breakfast. But we pulled it off with the help of the whole leadership team, and I'm so thankful that I was a part of it.
Well, so much of it is, since your title contains the word coalition, of building those connections mm-hmm. and bringing in, mm-hmm. whether it's local government, the private sector, all of that sort of thing. And I'm wondering, Dr. Harris, with now the emphasis on being creative with food. Mm-hmm. And we have a growing number of master chefs who are even coming out of our area, many of whom are coming from the community. I'm wondering if that is something to entice more young people into. Here's what, as Marshall said, here's what you can do with fruits and vegetables, not just to make them look pretty, but make them taste really delicious instead of the old school of let's just boil everything into submission or deep fry it.
Yes. No, I totally agree with you. And I think that's what we call sustainability. With our youth health leadership program, they're peer educators that have the opportunity to actually teach others. Mm-hmm. And so what you start is actually a movement where these individuals are looking at the significance of healthy foods and also looking at career opportunities where they will be able to actually communicate the significance of healthy foods and the preparation. So that is why we are placing a lot of focus on our youth, because through their education and through the knowledge that they're gaining on that, it will inform the professions that they want to take on. Mm-hmm. Becoming master chefs, for instance, as you just mentioned, may be one of several of those kinds of careers. So we're very excited about this. And the extravaganza was phenomenal. I mean, it was our way also of saying thank you to the community. We've had a number of various sponsors. We've had city officials who supported us over the years. The mayor, for instance, was highly supportive. We've got a letter even from him in our booklet. And just a number of community organizations came together. So that was our way. We had a formal program. We had, I want to give kudos to the Bond Community Health Center and the Neighborhood Medical Center. Mobile vans were out there. Health came to the community.
Yes.
They were right there together to provide glucose screenings, blood pressure screenings, and it was just wonderful. So healthy foods were there. We had games and bouncy balls and bouncy houses and things for the kids. So, you know, it really was our way of saying thank you to the community, and the community responded. And so it's just now about continuing this work. We've put it out there for individuals. It's certainly something that we intend to continue. And, you know, this Tallahassee community is just phenomenal. They have not let us down. They have been a part. And our success certainly is their success.
One of the things that and I think we talked about this a couple years ago, that can be an impediment to that success, though, is that lingering perception that, oh, dare I use the term fatalism. Lady I know said, you know, my mama had sugar. Her mama had sugar. I'm going to have it, too. This is – it's just – whether it's God's will or whatever else. And this is a message coming out of the coalition of empowerment that right. You can take control. And Dr. Penny, does that work into this whole thing, too, that we do have the ability to change our own lives if we want to?
Oh, absolutely. I mean there is this trajectory, and we think about our family. A lot of times we don't share our family history, but when we do share it, sometimes we think about it from that standpoint. But, you know, 70% of our health we really can have control over. And sometimes it doesn't really take a lot. It's just changing little things. And we do a lot of work in the community to help people say, you know, you don't have to make massive changes because more than likely you're not going to keep those. But if you can make just a few changes, whether it's physical activity, whether it's, you know, cutting down on fried foods, maybe you don't give it up completely, but maybe not every day, you know, whatever it might be. It's those little steps and seeing the little changes that come out of that empower people. People need to see the change in themselves, but you can't do it all at once. Mm-hmm. And you have to have support. And I think one of the things that COPE has done is provided that platform of support so people could feel like, you know, if I go down to the farmer's market and, you know, get some fruit, you know, I'm going to be acknowledged for that and I know I'm doing better and people are going to say I'm doing better. It's just those little things I think we can have an impact on.
The other thing, though, you have some larger issues, too, Myesha Mitchell. I'm thinking of the demise of a major grocery store in the South Side and the return of a – that whole access thing, the Piggly Wiggly down there right now off of South Monroe Street, huge for that community.
Well, you know, this is one of the things that we were very fortunate with the COPE Coalition, because we could use the name of COPE to say that we need help with bringing these things back to our community. the healthy food financing issue that came out of the legislature this year is now bringing that back to the attention. That's how Pickle Wicker came in. That's how people from the Frenchtown and Southside community began to advocate more about we need grocery stores in our area. And thanks to the CRA and other people who've been supportive and the folks who've learned about good food coming back to the table and talking about it, we are seeing differences now. So okay. We're very excited. We're also seeing differences in the people being able to cook. A lot of young people are not cooking, so their babies and their children are not getting solid food. And so incorporating cooking at the markets or also at the gardens has really made a difference. We see people come to the gardens who don't know what the food is. You know, we see more people eating kale now than ever before. Mm. It was always collards and cornbread, you know, but never kale. Kale? Am I dying? No.
Bunny food is one lady called it.
So dietary needs are being addressed in different ways. People learning how to cook the good food that they're finding at the garden or at the market. And now they're feeling better about themselves. It's a long struggle still ahead, you know, for us to continue to think about getting young people to cook.
That's it. And old habits die hard. That is true. But
exactly. But
you get the whole community thinking this line.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
That, mm-hmm. Something else, too, as we're talking about access. And I don't know, Sequoia, maybe this is something kind of your alley, but talking about the entrepreneurial possibilities of more community-originated food sources. We have the Frenchtown Market. We have gardens now. But going beyond the typical convenience store or whatever, some of your mini food markets that I see in some communities, possibility there for our area as well?
It's going to take the community and the community's voices to make that difference. And to see that happening, it's going to also entail the community getting behind policymakers, getting our local leaders, our leaders who are not so much visible, but our leaders in our homes and our communities to come together and have that one voice about quality of food mm-hmm. That is in walking distance or that you can get in your car and it's just a couple blocks away. I live on the South Side, and I love Trader Joe's. I have to go on the north side to get quality food mm-hmm. or Publix on the south end of the Capital Circle. And it's sometimes it's really sad. A lot of times it's really sad that I have to pass little convenience stores, mostly gas stations that sell food that we purchase because it's not a store that's in walking distance. And the quality of that just doesn't produce a quality individual in terms of, you know, the brain activity and the body frame, you know, fat. We it's just not healthy. But I can say with the many grantees, what we've seen was a change in policies across from the county. We had a project by Janice Dr. Rankins, and she was with the Bond Community Center supported her work. They changed the policies within that center in terms of food being purchased in the machines. Mm-hmm. The board of directors, then they had a policy where no food that was heavily with sugar and so forth would not be allowed. We saw policy change. We tried to work with the Leon County. We had the Leon County Health Department lead a
yes.
policy. We gave them a grant to deal mm-hmm. with policy around foods. We've seen policy changes with a mini grantee who had a violin. They had a group that was called Music Movement is Music, and they operated out of a church school. And that church school board changed the way the food was served and mm-hmm. the types of food that was served. The Leon County did a change in terms of machines with junk food, using your lunch hour to walk. They promoted walking and exercising during that time. We saw under Maisha's shop, Sheila Costigan, and many others work with the Leon County school system in terms of the foods in the cafeteria. We had a couple gardening sites that mm-hmm. provided the foods from the garden to the cafeteria. And that was just amazing. Gasvini.
Gasvini Learning Center.
Yes. They were very progressive mm-hmm. with that. So we saw change in policies, mm-hmm. and that was that. And I would gather that changes are still being made towards the healthier portion of intake of food.
Yeah, just in addition to that, Sequoia, it was with Mayor Marks, you know, with the 95210.
Yes.
He incorporated that whole idea of 9 hours of sleep mm-hmm. and 5 fruits and vegetables every day. 2 hours of screen time and 1 hour of exercise, and then 0 sugary beverages and, mm-hmm. and alcohol.
Well, or tobacco.
Tobacco. Zero tobacco. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And those things made a difference at that level. So you have right. people who are making the policies and the decisions actually taking part in it. You know, they helped us to bring water to gardens and develop property. The city has now a policy that will let somebody develop a garden on their public land. You know, and give you water to go with it. And then the county helps by providing you the seed money for startup. Mm-hmm. So imagine that. We didn't have that 5 years ago.
Progress. We're talking to the folks who actually originated and direct the COPE program, which is fighting childhood obesity here in the greater Tallahassee area. And we do have a call on the line. Grace, you hang on the line because you will be first in line when we get to the other side of this rapidly upcoming mandatory timeout here on Perspectives. In the meantime, join the conversation, won't you? 414-1234, the local number. It's 800-926-8800. Long distance and perspectives at WFSU.org. We'll be right back. And the group is called COPE, an acronym for Childhood Obesity Prevention Education. We have 5 of the leadership team here with us. If you'd like to talk to them, I think that's what Grace wants to do. Hi, Grace. Welcome to Perspectives.
Yeah, hi. I have a couple of questions for the group, and I'll be glad to take the responses off the air. They're sort of disparate but related. One, if the group could discuss the issue of the cultural acceptance of fat. And, you know, there's a movement out there, I'm sure you've heard about it, that you shouldn't fat shame people, you know, and you shouldn't fat shame kids or fat shame women. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a sort of a complicated issue. Wondered your thoughts on it. And then my second issue or question was the how you deal with the barrage of advertising that children are subjected to, you know, Coke, Pepsi, all that sort of thing, essentially pure sugar, as I think one of the commentators said, and then the pervasiveness of, you know, advertising junk food. Mm. Thanks so much.
Oh, thank you so much, Grace. We appreciate that. In fact, folks, what I heard this morning on NPR, of all things, I don't know how that happened, was interesting that in the Olympic Village in Rio, one of the athletes was going this morning looking for a cup of coffee, couldn't find one because the contract to provide catering services for the Olympic Village, one of the major contractors was Coca-Cola. Only Coke products were available for consumption. There was no coffee. And so Grace kind of has a point there. But what about the impact of advertising, particularly on young people where you have let's see. What can we call it, Penny? Where you have an ad for a 99.9% sugar content mm-hmm. cereal, and the little postscript is part of a balanced breakfast.
right. Well, you know, education is the key because the advertising is going to continue. I mean, that they're trying to make a buck, you know, and we understand that. But with what we did with our youth was to really, in youth health leadership, was to talk about the reasons why we need to make better food choices. you know, why water or juice, you know, moderately for juice, than a full 100% sugary soda? You know, what difference does it make over the long term in terms of your physical health? How does mental health have a bearing on our food choices? Mm-hmm. You know, so you start talking about these things. And what we did in our – we have a three-phase model. And the first phase is about really getting into the weeds of diet, physical activity, and most importantly, total health, the other things that we need to be thinking about. Using young dynamic role models to teach this content to the youth and have it in an interactive format. And so a part of that was talking about the why. Mm-hmm. And once young people understand the why, you know, a lot of times we just tell kids, don't do that. We don't tell them why. Mm-hmm. You tell them why, they understand, and then they start making those choices. And we have outcome data to show that they've made those choices. Mm-hmm. So I think that's where we have to go. It's always going to be there. Ads are going to be there. But we can make better choices.
Okay. So you give them the ammunition to counter
exactly,
that.
Exactly.
But as Grace also said, how do you get around – because we know how cruel kids can be. Grown-ups can be mm-hmm. cruel too. Mm-hmm. Gee, check the – you know, what's going on with the political thing right now. But you get around the fat-shaming type mm-hmm. of thing where you're promoting healthier lifestyles without saying, oh, you're a bad person. You're overweight. Cynthia, what do you think?
Yeah, sure. Hi, Grace. This is Cynthia Harris. And this is something that we've had a discussion about the stigma often that happens when we talk about obesity and obesity shaming and the cruelty that can happen as a result of that. And one of the things I think our coalition does and has done very well is that we really place focus on having or doing those things that help you have a healthy lifestyle. So we talk about the significance of eating healthy. These are healthy foods. Increase physical activity. That is where we place our focus on. And then we know that if we can get young people and families together, and young people also put pressure on their own families, mm-hmm. once they understand, then the outcome will be a reduction. But we don't place – all of our discussion is about for everyone – to have a healthy lifestyle. You may have individuals who, you know, are, you know, physically you can look at them and they're slim, but they're not healthy exactly. because they still are not eating healthy foods. So our focus is taking this in a positive direction, giving everyone the education, the tools that they need to have a healthy lifestyle. And that's mm-hmm. what we are promoting. And oftentimes it results in positive outcomes, a reduction in weight, a reduction in fat. So that's been our approach, and it really has been very effective.
Terrific. To the phones we go again. Lucy is in Quincy. Hi, Lucy. Welcome to Perspectives. Yeah, go ahead, Lucy. I hear her back there somewhere. It might be in between cell towers. Yeah, we'll try to get her back, and she wanted to talk about the increased focus on farming. Now, I noticed that the people down at there is a certain grocery store in this town that relies very much on more local produce mm-hmm. and healthier produce and all of that, and they have an annual farm tour. People can actually get out and see a real farm, which is something that we seem to be more interested in now, Maisha.
Yeah, I think so. And one of the things is because of the children. I think the children tend to bring this message loud and clear. You know, we would start looking at the gardening issues, and parents would say, our children don't eat vegetables. And then all of a sudden, like Michelle was saying, you introduce them, they start eating. But when they start to grow it, and they can pull that carrot from the ground, which they thought came from the grocery store, you know, it's like, man, this is amazing. And then when you give them a tour of the land and see, so for instance, we had a young man who made this comment. We were riding around the van and looking at different sites. We were on the south side, and one of the things came, and he says, oh, imagine that, a McDonald's right across from a Burger King. He'd never seen this before. And so this tells you about our children's vision and imagination. So, and I said, you know what that is called? It's called a food swamp. You know, there's a food desert, and there's a food swamp. And so mm-hmm. kids get an idea of how they can compare these things. And they start thinking, oh, then we can make our own food. Yourselves. You can cook your own food. So they're learning to do these things. So that makes a big difference when you start talking about farming. Children like to do it. We are struggling with the parents more than anything else. But the kids love it.
Yeah, and through like the school district, where, you know, we've been praising Sheila Costigan and the Foundation for Public Schools in Leon County here all morning. But when you have more schools that are getting involved in that and having more kids growing their own, there is just something more delicious
it
about
is.
Something you've grown yourself.
Yes, it is.
Exactly.
Yeah, the food is good. It's better. In a child's mind.
Yeah, sure. Well, I think in grown-up minds, too. Mm-hmm. We have an emotional investment in that which we have tended, and we chase the bugs and the weeds away, and it comes out of the ground, and it's gorgeous. I don't care if it's all shriveled up. It's gorgeous, and it's going to taste really, really good. What about some of the other coordination, though, Marshall, that you folks are working on? You got to bring in more folks, obviously, to the coalition all the time to keep that buy-in, to keep that energy and forward movement, right?
Yes, well, most of the time when I'm out in the community, even when I'm just going out shopping, I always find an opportunity to speak to the community, the store owners, people that I run into, and I'll start a conversation up about eating healthy and doing activities, and I'll tell them about COPE and to come to our meetings, you know. And mostly when I see parents with a lot of children and I see that they're obese, and I won't say, you know, you need to do this or you need to do that. I said, you know, we have this community organization called COPE that we teach children to eat healthy. And we have fun at our meetings. So I give them the address. And quite a few times, some of the parents have shown up with their children. Mm-hmm. And the first thing they see is the refreshments that we have. It's all fruits and vegetables, no candy, no snacks or anything. It's just beautiful watermelon, strawberries, pineapples, and the children actually love them. So we try to teach kids to eat healthy, and if the parents see them eating this fruit, they're going to buy it when they go to the grocery store. Even when I'm in the grocery store shopping and the kids are over there and they're talking about, Mommy, I don't want that. I said, but you got to dress it up for them. And a lot of times the children really like that. I did that with my kids, and that's how they got to eat a lot of fruits and vegetables.
And that may be it, that a lot of the parents are just bouncing off of, well, their childhood preferences, too. I know when I was growing up, man, I went right for the pizza and the donuts. I didn't go for the healthy stuff. And are they kind of by extension imposing that on the kids without realizing it?
I think so. Yeah.
Now, Patricia's checking in here with us on Perspectives, and we sure do appreciate that call. We'll make sure she's ready to go. Hi, Patricia. Welcome.
Hi, thank you for having me. I want to say I love that you guys are talking about this. I think it's a great topic of conversation. And I liked earlier that you said you like to go to Trader Joe's, but it's all the way across town. And that's been on my mind lately. And I wondered, you were talking about policies. Are there policies that could be in place to maybe attract stores like Trader Joe's to these areas of town that don't have them? Because I think it also ties into education. We can educate our children in the grocery store and what we're buying and the way that looks and the healthiness of it. And if it's one of the organic grocery stores, it's less likely to be processed food and more healthy and packaged nicely.
Sure. Good.
I'll take my answer off the air. Thank you.
Terrific. Thank you so much. We appreciate it. Well, let's start with you, Maisha, and then over to Sequoia. Okay,
just a quick note on that. I spoke earlier about the healthy financing options, healthy food financing legislation that was recently passed, this past legislature period. They have been focusing on getting more food stores, more grocery stores in the area. There's been some conversation with groups in the Frenchtown area about grocery stores in that area and also on the south side. This is how Piggly Wiggly came into existence over there because of that discussion. But Trader Joe type and Whole Food types, and many of those have come up because people have had that interest and have advocated for it. So there are ways in which you can get engaged in that conversation and make it happen in your community.
Okay, and Sequoia, your thoughts there, since you're kind of the grants person of this whole group.
Well, personally, I think it has a lot to do with the lay of the land. South side, north side, east side, west side. Mm-hmm. And I think also perception of how we spend our money. Mm-hmm. There's one way of knowing, which tends to be what's out there in the public eye, what's in the literature. Mm. Not literature per se, but what's in the news per se. But living on the South Side, there are a lot of prominent individuals and families that live on the South Side. And we spend our money we want to be healthy, too. We raise healthy children. We spend our money the same way as folks on the north side. And that is I don't think that is picked up when buyers come into our community and say, okay, well, is this a good community to invest in a grocery store, Trader Joe? And I'm not sure where they get the data from, but as a lot of us go on the other side of town, mm-hmm. east, west, to get the foods that we enjoy eating. I don't know. I think part of that it's a business investment, and I'm not sure where the base of their information comes from. For example, we give thanks to Breakfasts, which is where we had our extravaganza. Right in front of Breakfast is the old Bancock Bank. Hancock Bank. Well, Zaxby's was interested in buying that property. Store there. They decided because of the population and demographics of the neighborhood of that South Side neighborhood that we would not buy from Zaxby's. Mm. And so the Zaxby's was built on the north side of town. So the bank and the vacant lot is still there left for some other purpose. But again, I think it's perception about our income and how we spend our money. And then it's the lay of the land. I constantly see a deficit. Once you cross over Gaines Street, you see it flourishes. And then once you come on the other side, the south side, or you cross the railroad tracks, anywhere in USA, actually, you see a deficit in our communities. Granted, there are some things that we can do better as a group, but then also on the other hand, we are better.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I was thinking also in terms of and we mentioned this off the air during the one break. Mm-hmm. When I was growing up in the small town of Western Maryland, we had a very, very small African-American population. I think in my hometown it was less than 1%. You knew all the black folks personally because there were so few of them. But I remember Mr. Howard Washington and his green grocery that was two blocks down the street. Now, it was residential area, no zoning back in those days. And he had a green grocery, and it was all homegrown fruits and vegetables. He had a garden, and the few other black folks in town, they had gardens, and that was their outlet for their produce. Mm-hmm. And that's where we bought all of our stuff. Mm-hmm. That was there was an A&P and there was an Acme downtown, but we didn't go there because Mama needed some lettuce for the salad. She mm-hmm. said, "You go down, Mr. Washington's. You get us a couple heads of lettuce for mm-hmm. the salads." And that homegrown food and a homegrown business. I wonder why can't we have that model again? We've got all these entrepreneurial resources in this town. The small business center at FAMU, and we have CRA money available and all of that. If there are any entrepreneurs that say, we are within the community, let's start a business and tap into some of these productive areas like the gardens in Frenchtown and the iGrow project on the south side and give a market for that.
Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That is also a possibility maybe for the future. I don't know. Let's check in with Lucy. She's over in Quincy and back on the line with us. Thanks for your patience and persistence, Lucy. Welcome.
Thank you. Actually, those last comments were a perfect segue into what I wanted to mention. I wanted to give a shout-out for the Red Hill Small Farm Alliance.
Yes.
Which it's an organization composed of about 50 producers within mm-hmm. 100 miles of Tallahassee. And it has created an online farmer's market. And, in fact, iGrow sells through the online market. And this is a topic that's near and dear to my heart. So just wanted to if for people that aren't aware of that market, to call it to their attention.
Oh, thank you so much, Lucy. Yeah, appreciate that.
But. Oh, that's great. Thank you, Lucy, for that, because that is related to what you were saying earlier, Tom, about how important it is for us to support each other. Mm-hmm. And Louise Devine and her husband have done great work with Red Hills Online. And we've gotten many of our partners to actually buy online.
Yes.
So you can
mm-hmm.
order your food,
yes.
and they can bring it to the garden at Tallahassee Food Network and iGrow, and we actually give them to what they ordered. right there. So that is a unique partnership that we formed with them. We're very excited about having them in our network.
Well, folks, we've been really excited about having you on today to talk about COPE and what it's been doing and, more importantly, what it is going to do moving forward as we get more and more folks involved here with making a situation where kids can be healthy, and that turns into healthy grown-ups, and that's a good thing, too. Cynthia Harris, Sequoia Finch, Penny Ralston, Maisha Mitchell, and Marshall Dunstan Lawrence, thank you all for coming on Perspectives today. And now let's go get some healthy lunch.
Thanks a lot.
Perspectives produced by WFSU-FM in Tallahassee. Technical assistance, Taylor Cox today doing the whole deal. And I'm Tom Flanagan. Next week, the Perspectives Spotlight falls on the exciting new season of offerings coming up as Opening Nights presents yet another all-star lineup of entertainment and artistic excellence. We'll reconnect then right here on Perspectives.
Audio copies of Perspectives are available by calling 1-800-829-8809. Log on to WFSU.org for online archives and podcast. Perspectives is a production of 88.9 WFSU-FM, Tallahassee.